Come with us now, just beyond the village, to the ancient castle of Rudigal. We are in the long gallery. The walls are covered with full-length portraits of the baronets of Rudigal from the time of James I. This one here is of Sir Rupert Murgatroyd, the first bad baronet on whom the witch's curse was laid. And down there, at the end of a long line of paintings, we can just make out the portrait of Sir Roderick, the last deceased baronet. Here we find Robin and his faithful old retainer, Adam. But their appearance is greatly altered since last we saw them. Robin wears the haggard aspect of a guilty roué. Adam, that of the wicked steward to such a man.
Was as meek as a newborn lamb, I'm now Sir Murgatroyd. With greater precision, without the elision, Sir Rufin Murgatroyd.
And I, who was once his valley to sham, as steward I'm now employed. The dickens may take him, I'll never forsake him. As steward, I'm now employed. How dreadful when an innocent heart becomes the fourth of bad young bot, and still more hard on old Adam is born a faithful valley to sham. Is born a faithful valley to sham.
This is a painful state of things, old Adam.
Painful indeed. Ah, my poor master, when I swore that come what would, I would serve you in all things forever, I little thought what a pass it would bring me. The confidential adviser to the greatest villain unhung. Well, now, sir, to business. What crime do you propose to commit today?
How should I know? As my confidential adviser, it is your duty to suggest something.
Sir, I loathe the life you are leading, but a good old man's oath is paramount, and I obey. Richard Dauntless is here with Pretty Rose Maybud to ask your consent to their marriage. Poison their beer.
No, not that. I know I'm a bad bot, but I'm not as bad a bot as all that.
Well, there you are, you see. It's no use my making suggestions if you don't adopt them.
How would it be, do you think, were I to lure him here with cunning wile, bind him with good stout rope to yonder post, and then by making hideous faces at him, curdle the hot blood in his arteries, and freeze the very marrow in his bones? How say you, Adam? Is not the scheme well planned?
Might have been simply rude. Nothing more. But soft. They come.
Happily coupled are we, you see. I am a jolly Jack Tar, my star. And you are the fairest, the richest, and rarest of innocent glass as you are. My star of innocent glass as you are. And by a favoring gale you'll sail over life's treacherous sea with me. And as for bad weather, we'll brave it together. And you shall creep under my lee, my wee. And you shall creep under my lee, my wee. For you are such a smart little craft, such a neat little sweet little craft, such a bright little tight little slight little light little trim little thin little craft.
My hopes are delighted, I fear, my dear. In a month you'll be going to sea quite free, and all of my wishes you'll throw to the fishes as though they were never to be, as though they were never to be. And I shall be left all alone to moan and weep at your cruel deceit complete, while you'll be asserting your freedom by flirting with every woman you meet. You cheat, oh, with every woman you meet. Oh, though I am such a smart little craft, such a deep little sweet little craft, such a bright little tight little slight little light little trick little brim little craft.
Such a deep little smart little craft, such a deep little sweet little craft.
In my power at last, eh? Know ye not that I have those within my call who at my lightest bidding would immure ye in an uncomfortable dungeon? What ho, within there!
Hold! We are prepared for this. Here is a flag that none dare defy. And while this glorious rag floats over Rose Maybud's head, the man does not live who would dare to lay unlicensed hand upon her.
Foiled, and by a Union Jack. But a time will come, and then...
Nay, let me plead with him. Sir Riven, have pity. In my book of etiquette, the case of a maiden about to be wedded to one who unexpectedly turns out to be a baronet with a curse on him is not considered. Time was when you loved me madly. Prove that this was no selfish love by according your consent to my marriage with one who, if he be not you yourself, is the next best thing, your dearest friend.
Beat for thee, my joy. I have fulfilled my accursed doom. I have duly committed a crime a day. Not a great crime, I trust, but still in the eyes of one as strictly regulated as I used to be, a crime. But will my ghostly ancestors be satisfied with what I have done? Or will they regard it as an unworthy subterfuge? Oh, my forefathers, wallowers in blood, there came at last a day when, sick of crime, you each and every vowed to sin no more, and so in agony called a welcome death to free you from your cloying guiltiness. Let the sweet psalm of that repentant hour soften your long-dead hearts and tune your souls to mercy on your poor posterity.
With icy glare and stern relentless brow, appearest, who knows how?
bless poor ghosts.
The pity you express on loving ghosts, we take to our joy and rule than you perhaps suppose. We take to our joy and rule than you perhaps suppose.
Night wind howls in the chimney cowls, and the bats in the moonlight fly, and inky clouds like funeral shrouds sail over the midnight sky. When the footpads quail at the night bird's wail, and black dogs bay at the moon, then is a spectre's holiday, then is the ghost I know. The mists fly low on the pain. From grateful souls are gathered the bones that once were women and men. And away they go with a mouth and a foot to the hell that ends so soon. For God's holy before holiday, the dead of the night I know. The dead of the night I know. Church on beds take flight, with a kiss perhaps on her lantern cap, and a grisly grim good night. Till the welcome knell of the midnight bell rings forth its jolliest tune, and ushers in our next high holiday, the dead of the night I know, the dead of the night I know.
I recognize you now. You are the picture that hangs at the end of the gallery.
In a bad light, I am.
Are you considered a good likeness?
Pretty well. Flattering.
Because as a work of art, you are poor.
That's true.
No doubt.
Not mellow enough.
I am crude in color, but I have only been painted 10 years. In a couple of centuries, I shall be an old master, and then you will be sorry you spoke lightly of me.
And may I ask why you have left your friends?
It is our duty to see that our successors commit their daily crimes in a conscientious and workmanlike fashion. It is our duty to remind you that you are evading the conditions under which you are permitted to exist.
Really, I don't know what you'd have. I've only been a bad baronet a week, and I've committed a crime punctually every day.
Let us inquire into this Monday.
Monday was a bank holiday.
True. Tuesday.
On Tuesday, I made a false income tax return.
Ah-ha! That's nothing.
Nothing at all.
Everybody does that.
It's expected of you.
Wednesday?
On Wednesday, I forged a will.
Whose will?
My own.
My good sir, you can't forge your own will.
Can't I, though? I like that idea. Besides, if a man can't forge his own will, whose will can he forge?
There's something in that.
Yes, it seems reasonable.
First sight, it does.
Fallacy somewhere, I fancy.
Man can do what he likes with his own.
I suppose he can.
Well, then, he can forge his own will, stupid. On Thursday, I shot a fox.
Hear, hear.
That's better. Pass the fox, I think.
Aye.
Yes, pass the fox. Friday?
On Friday, I forged a check.
Whose check?
Old Adam's.
But old Adam hasn't a banker.
I didn't say I forged his banker. I said I forged his check.
That's true.
Yes, it seems reasonable.
Fallacy somewhere.
On Saturday, I disinherited my only son.
But you haven't got a son.
No, not yet. I disinherited him in advance to save time. You see, by this arrangement, he'll be born already disinherited.
I see. But I don't think you can do that.
My good sir, if I can't disinherit my own unborn son, whose unborn son can I disinherit?
That's right enough.
Yes, it seems reasonable.
Yes, these arguments sound very well. But I can't help thinking that if they were reduced to syllogistic form, they wouldn't hold water. Now, quite understand us. We are foggy, but we do not permit our fogginess to be presumed upon. Unless you undertake to, well, suppose we say, carry off a lady. Those who are in favor of his carrying off a lady.
Aye.
Those of the contrary opinion.
Oh,
my Lord Bishop, you're never satisfied. Yes, unless you undertake to carry off a lady at once, I don't care what lady, any lady, choose your lady, you perish in inconceivable agony.
To carry off a lady, certainly not on any account. I've the greatest respect for ladies, and I wouldn't do anything of the kind for worlds. No, no, I'm not that kind of a baronet, I assure you. If that's all you've got to say, you'd better go back to your frames.
Very good. Then let the agonies commence.
Oh! 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 Don't do that. I can't stand it.
Painful, isn't it? It gets worse by degrees.
Oh, no, no, oh, oh. Stop it. Stop it, will you? I want to speak.
Ah. Better?
Yes. Better now.
Oh. Well, do you consent?
But it's such an ungentlemanly thing to do.
As you please. Carry on.
Ah. Oh, no, stop. I can't stand it. I agree. I promise it shall be done.
Today?
Today.
At once.
At once. I retract. I apologize. I had no idea it was anything like that.
Thank you.
My poor master. You're not well.
Oh, Dadham, it will do. I've seen them. All my ancestors, they're just gone. They say I must do something desperate at once or perish in horrible agonies. Go. Go to yonder village. Carry off a maiden.
Huh?
Bring her here at once.
But,
anyone.
But,
I don't care which.
The harbour.
Not a word, but a babe. Fly.
Oh. Away, remorse. Compunction, hence. Go, moral force. Go, penitence. Virtues flee a long farewell. Propriety, I ring your knell. Come, guiltiness of deadliest hue. Come, desperate deeds of daring do. Henceforth all the crimes that I find in the times I promise to perpetrate day. Tomorrow I start with a petrified heart on a regular course of Old Bailey. This confidence-picking, bad coin pocket-picking, and several other disgraces. This post-stamp pricking and then thimble rigging, the three-card delusion that races. Oh, a baronet rank is exceedingly nice, but the title's uncommonly dear at the price. Well-to-do squires who live in the shires where petty distinctions are vital, who found athenaeums and local museums with views to a baronet's title. Ye butchers and bakers and candlestick makers who sneer at all things that are trady, whose middle class lives are embarrassed by wives who long to braid as my lady. Oh, allow me to offer a word of advice. The title's uncommonly dear at the price. Supple MPs who go down on your knees, your precious identity sinking, and vote black or white as your leaders indict, which saves you the trouble of thinking. For your country's good fame, her repute or a shame, you don't care a snuff of a candle, but you're paid for your game when you're told that your name will be graced by a baronet's handle. Oh, allow me to give you a word of advice. The title's uncommonly dear at the price.
Now, into the empty gallery, come Sir Despard and Mad Margaret. They, too, look very different to when we last met them, being dressed in sober black and an air of complacent respectability.
Upon linen drapers.
He certainly entertained the gapers. strange beyond all range.
Paragraphs got into all the papers. We only cut respectable papers. Given up all my wild proceedings.
My taste for a wandering life is waning.
Now I'm a dab at penny readings.
They are not remarkably entertaining.
A moderate livelihood we're gaining.
In fact, we rule a national school.
The duties are dull, but I'm not complaining. This sort of thing takes a deal of training.
We have been married a week.
One happy, happy week.
Our new life.
Is delightful indeed.
So calm.
So pure.
So peaceful.
So unimpassioned. Master, all this I owe to you. See, I am no longer wild and untidy. My hair is combed, my face is washed, my boots fit.
Margaret, don't. Pray restrain yourself. Remember, you are now a district visitor.
A gentle district visitor.
You are orderly, methodical, neat. You have your emotions well under control.
I have. Master, when I think of all you have done for me, I fall at your feet. I embrace your ankles. I hug your knees.
Hush, this is not well. Oh. This is calculated to provoke remark. Be composed, I beg.
You are angry with poor little Mad Margaret?
No, not angry. But a district visitor should learn to eschew melodrama. Visit the poor, by all means, and give them tea and barley water. But don't do it as if you were administering a bowl of deadly nightshade. It upsets them.
Oh.
Then when you nurse sick people and find them not as well as could be expected, why go into aesthetics?
Why not?
Because it's too jumpy for a sick room.
How strange. Oh, Master, Master, how shall I express the all-absorbing gratitude that
now.
I... Yes, I know, dear. It shan't occur again. Oh, shall I tell you one of poor Mad Margaret's odd thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, when I am lying awake at night and the pale moonlight streams through the latticed casement, strange fancies crowd upon my poor mad brain, and I sometimes think that if we could hit upon some word for you to use whenever I am about to relapse,
yes.
Some word that teems with hidden meaning, like Basingstoke.
Aye.
It might recall me to my saner self. For after all, I am only Mad Margaret.
Oh.
Daft Meg. Poor Peg.
Poor child, she wanders. But soft, someone comes. Margaret, pray recollect yourself. Basingstoke, I beg. Margaret, if you don't Basingstoke at once, I shall be seriously angry.
Basingstoke it is.
Then make it so.
Despard and his young wife.
This visit is unexpected.
Shall I fly at him? Shall I tear him limb from limb? Shall I rend him asunder? Say but the word.
Basingstoke.
Basingstoke it is.
Then make it so. My brother. I call you brother still, despite your horrible profligacy. We have come to urge you to abandon the evil courses to which you have committed yourself, and at any cost to become a pure and blameless ratepayer.
But I've done no wrong yet.
No wrong? He has done no wrong. Did you hear that?
Basingstoke.
Basingstoke it is.
My brother, I still call you brother, you observe. You forget that you have been in the eye of the law, a bad baronet of Radigore for 10 years.
Oh.
And you are therefore responsible in the eye of the law for all the misdeeds committed by the unhappy gentleman who occupied your place.
I see. Bless my heart, I never thought of that. Was I very bad?
Awful, wasn't he?
And I've been going on like this for how long?
10 years.
Oh.
Think of all the atrocities you have committed, by attorney, as it were, during that period. Remember how you trifled with this poor child's affections, how you raised her hopes on high. Don't cry, my love. Feelings, don't you know? Only to trample them in the dust when they were at the very zenith of their foolishness. Oh, fie, sir, fie. She trusted you.
Did she? What a scoundrel I must have been. There, there, don't cry, my dear. It's all right now. Birmingham, you know, Birmingham.
It's Basingstoke.
Basingstoke, of course it is. Basingstoke.
Then make it so.
There, there, it's all right. He's married you now. That is, I've married you. I say, which of us has married her?
Oh, I've married her.
Oh, I'm glad of that. Yes, he's married you now, and anything more disreputable than my conduct seems to have been, I've never even heard of. But my mind is made up. I will defy my ancestors. I will refuse to obey their behests. Thus, by courting death, atone in some degree for the infamy of my career.
I knew it! I knew it! God bless you!
Basingstoke.
Basingstoke it is.
My eyes are fully open to my awful situation. I should go at once to Roderick and make him an oration. I should tell him I've recovered my forgotten moral sense, and I don't get up a tape for any consequences. Now I do not want to perish by the sword or by the dagger, but the martyr may indulge a little pardonable swagger, and a word or two of compliment my vanity will flatter. But I've got to die tomorrow, so it really doesn't matter.
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 So it really doesn't matter. Matter, 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 matter.
If I were not a little mad and generally silly, I should give you my advice upon a subject willy-nilly. I should show you in a moment how to grapple with the question, and you'd really be astonished at the force of my suggestion. On the subject, I shall write you a most valuable letter full of excellent suggestions when I feel a little better. But at present, I'm afraid I am as mad as any hatter, so I keep them to myself, for my opinion doesn't matter.
Her opinion doesn't matter.
Her opinion doesn't matter.
Her opinion doesn't matter.
Her opinion doesn't matter.
My opinion doesn't matter.
Her opinion doesn't matter.
My opinion doesn't matter.
Matter, 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 matter,
matter, matter, matter, matter, matter. If I had been so lucky as to have a steady brother who could talk to me as we are talking now to one another, who could give me good advice when he discovered I was erring, which is just a very favor which a new I conferring, my existence would have made a rather interesting little. I might have lived and died a very decent individual. The particularly rapid, unintelligible patter isn't generally heard, and if it is, it doesn't matter.
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 The particularly rapid, unintelligible patter isn't generally heard, and if it is, it doesn't matter.
The particularly rapid, unintelligible patter isn't generally heard, and if it is, it doesn't matter. Matter, 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 matter.
Master, the deed is done.
What deed?
She is here, alone, unprotected.
Who?
The maiden. Oh, I've carried her off. I had a hard task. She fought like a tiger cat.
Great heavens, I had forgotten her. I had hoped to die unspotted by crime, but I am foiled again by a tiger cat. Produce her and leave us.
Well, sir?
Dame Hannah, this is not what I expected.
And what would you with me? Oh, you have begun bravely, bravely indeed. Unappalled by the calm dignity of blameless womanhood, your minion has torn me from my spotless home and dragged me blindfold and shrieking through hedges, over stiles, and across a very difficult country, and left me helpless and trembling at your mercy.
Oh, madam.
Yet not helpless, coward sir. For approach one step, nay, but the 20th part of one poor inch, and this poniard shall teach you what it is to lay unholy hands on old Stephen Trusty's daughter.
Madam, I'm very sorry for this. It is not at all what I intended. Anything more correct, more deeply respectful than my intentions toward you, it would be impossible for anybody, however particular, to decide.
Ah! I am not to be tricked by smooth words, hypocrite. But be warned in time, for there are without 100 gallant hearts whose trusty blade would hack him limb from limb who dared to lay unholy hands on old Stephen Trusty's daughter.
And this is what it is to embark upon a career of unlicensed pleasure.
Hark ye, miscreant, you have secured me, and I am your poor prisoner. But if you think I cannot take care of myself, you are very much mistaken. Now then, it's 1-1. and let the best man win.
No, don't. Don't look at me like that. I can't bear it. Roderick! Uncle! Save me!
Tears fall free for the pretty little flower and the
You should tell me, Miss Your Able, like the mousy in the fables, that's the teaching of my book of etiquette.
Having been a wicked baronet for a week, once again a modest livelihood I seek. Agricultural employment is to be a keen enjoyment, for I naturally diffident and weak.
If you ask me why I do not fight my eye, like an honest British sailor, I reply that with sorrow for my missus, every present season, kitties, which is just the sort of ration I enjoy.
Which is just the sort of ration you enjoy. Cause by your treatise, by your true evoke, all the best call of matrimony's yoke. We shall huddle off tomorrow from the same accident, sorrow for to settle in the town of bathing soak.
That complete performance of Rudigore by W.S. Gilbert and Arthur Sullivan, Robin Oakapple was played by Peter Pratt. Richard Dauntless was sung by John Fryatt and spoken by Barry Ingham. Sir Despard Murgatroyd was played by Alan Dudley. Old Adam Goodhart was sung by Norman Lumsden and spoken by Earl Grey. Rose Maybud was sung by Ellen Dales and spoken by Meg Wynne Owen. Mad Margaret was played by Patricia Routledge. Dame Hannah was sung by Monica Sinclair and spoken by Shirley Cooklin. Sir Roderick Murgatroyd was sung by Forbes Robinson and spoken by Julian Summers. Zora was sung by Joan Brown and spoken by Sheila Hammond. Ruth was spoken by Wendy Lovelock. The village's corps of bridesmaids, the ghosts of the Murgatroyds, and Sir Despard Murgatroyd's house guests were the John McCarthy singers. You also heard the BBC Concert Orchestra, leader Arthur Levins.